Major Plowman, Reel 3. You were saying that it was the officers who took the initiative in the training and the in the troop. You mentioned going on one exercise on the Marlborough Downs where you were driving the Humber. Did you do a lot of field exercises?
No, it was the only big exercise I recall. I think there'd been a one just before we joined the regiment, the intercourt, called Bumper, I think, from memory. But we had this one done. I suppose it's probably been the following spring. As I say, I was very much absorbed with the armoured car. I remember we were vivid in Savernake Forest.
Was that the first time you'd been out under field conditions?
I think it was. Yes, I think it was the only time.
How did you get yourself organised for that? What did you do when you bivouacked?
I can't remember really. I don't think we had the sort of vivid that we had when the Derbyshire Infantry were converted to tanks, where we had a tarpaul attached. We strapped up the tarpaul to the side of the tank, and it had poles that made a little lean-to kit. Was waterproof and everything. I rather think we were in the open with no cover. And likewise, I remember one in the Northern, which is similar. One was under the stars.
You said that the food in the Inns of Court Yeomanry was a bit better than the food at the training regiment. How did you feed in the Inns of Court Yeomanry? Did you have a cookhouse, or did you feed on a squadron or troop basis?
We had a squadron cookhouse. Yeah. Every Sunday, every man in the squadron had his feet under the table. In a private house, having your feet under the table, that was a very enjoyable change from the squadron cooking. We missed centrally.
What about when you were off duty? What could you do to entertain yourselves?
I think we had some form of squadron canteen, so I remember, but I can't remember much about it. I know on Saturday night we used to go to a local called Robin Hood. This chap performed on the piano, and some of our elder soldiers did their party pieces, and we had what was a pretty good night, as it were. Anyway, in our case, therefore, others, we got to know this pianist quite well. And he invited us to Sunday lunch with his wife. She received us with great enthusiasm, and we were always cooking an enormous lunch. And then on we, if we weren't going home or anything like that, we went there.
Were you able to get home?
I suppose I was about 45 miles from home. And I could just make it, I think, by my parents bringing me to Peterborough to catch the bus. And then another chap and I were shared a motorbike, on which I was not at all safe. I was able to come home on that. And I remember once, I broke down on my way so I asked my father to help me out. The other day he was a Donna, he became a Donna, and he was quite happy on this machine. Fortunately, the years their legs were back down, they all became in the army that everybody from Brigadier downwards would have to learn to ride a motorbike. And we had a wonderful instruction then with black time, just outside, and rough country stuff. And I got very confident then without anything ever riding a motorbike again.
Did you do any cross-country driving with any of the armoured cars at all in support?
I can't recall it. Perhaps we did a little bit. The problem was not to get stuck. Got far from the road and got stuck. No problem. But when we were in Savnak, forest that I mentioned, that exercise, well, the weather was good and we were obviously on, weren't on the metal road there. But it was mostly road work.
And you also said that the wireless sets improved. Was that while you were in the Inns of Court Yeomanry? Did you get issue with new sets?
Yes, we've got 19 sets.
Yes. Yeah. What was it about them that made them superior to the previous sets?
Well, getting on net was very difficult for the other ones, from what I remember. Whereas the 19 set was pretty straightforward, really. And it seemed simpler. You didn't need any special cutting for it, really.
When you used the 19 set, were you using mainly Morse or voice?
RT.
RT. How far could you expect to be received?
Well, see, we had the same set to the end of the war.
Yes.
Well, they very much depend on the terrain, isn't it? Because in the desert of North Africa, you can get quite a long range. I mean, but I was at a guess 40 miles in close country, it was much more difficult.
What about in the mountains, as you had in Italy? What would that do?
I don't remember any great difficulty. Was he there? We would be within a few miles of our squadron headquarters always. And likewise, RHQ would be reasonably near the squadron headquarters. You know, we wasn't back. I mean, the progress was fairly slow. In certain terrain, I suppose 20 miles was perfectly okay. Other terrain, the mountain in between, well, it could sometimes be quite difficult. But I don't remember ever losing touch with Italy when my dog leader. The B set. Because we were operating on the A set. The B set was near the west of town.
Was this the squadron net? With the troop net?
I had a disastrous experience with the B set in my first exercise in command of the troop in North Africa. I just couldn't get this army commander to respond to my orders. And I had to go onto the squadron net.
What, to get hold of him?
Yeah. Mm. Which you weren't supposed to do. Mm. But you had. Obviously, I had to exercise strict discipline. I couldn't hold him. Conversations with our troop, a lengthy conversation with the troop sergeant, for instance, over here, squadron net.
Some regiments in the Second World War had the system of having a regimental net as such.
A regimental net. Yes.
Did you ever experiment with doing that, having
the
whole regiment on the same net?
Well, I can understand that with an armoured troop. You had a solid phalanx of armour, and it would work quite well. But you must remember we were armoured reconnaissance, and information was our job, and therefore there was a lot of track.
Needed more.
The squadron leader wanted to be hearing all the time from his troop leaders. So that wouldn't have worked with reconnaissance track, in my opinion.
You needed more channels?
Yes.
Did you practice doing that sort of information handling when you were at the Inns of Court?
I didn't remember any formal instruction on that. But I don't think I ever had any. But one wasn't left any doubt in the Derbyshire Yeomanry. One had to exercise strict discipline, and one had to provide as much information as possible. So that was very much our role. Rather than getting shot up by the first 88, imagine information out of it. The commander who suffers that fate.
Do you think that the Inns of Court yeomanry training was a useful and practical training for what happened later? Did it prepare you?
I think so. There was always this difference between theory and practice. Things that in training were seemed extremely important. In practice, they were sometimes disregarded. And it was needs must for the whole lives, but. The training, I think all the training was fruitful, good, yes. But in action one learns a lot quicker.
What sort of things that seemed important in training were generally disregarded in action?
Well, the obvious example was smoking. I mean, the penalties for smoking by an hour there in England were dire. As soon as you got out in North Africa, it was a case of everyone smoking and passing the ammunition. I don't know. Smoking seemed essential. That was the obvious example. Well, now, for instance, I think one envisaged to a sort of being in action with the door,
the hatch.
The hatch closed, and going along with looking through the periscopes. So that wouldn't work. There was a risk that the commander having his head out and we lost the small leader who was killed by a sniper. But it was the only way you could operate virtually. I mean, in certain circumstances, you had to be very careful. But think, I mean, that's maybe what I meant for the First World War, that was a hell of an idea, that you would survive and you went straight on. And didn't maneuver much either side. And certainly, in armoured conflicts, we wouldn't have been able to talk. So that was a big change. And I think the art, from what I remember, the armoured regiments, they didn't see, the commanders were a bit more careful than we were. But they had they could see.
They had to have your head out to see properly.
Otherwise, I can't think of any examples of another change, except one became more cagey and careful.
Can you train to become cagey and careful, or do you have to learn that by experience?
I think you learn by experience, but at the same time, I think on the other hand, soldiers go into battle rather than the other way. Expecting to be killed at the first. They are very careful at the beginning, and they get a little less careful as time goes on. But you get a kind of sense of what you can do and what you can't do, and you can't get into trouble. That's kind of still there.
Do you have any idea of how long it takes to develop that sort of battle cunning or battle sense?
Most of those 6 hours.
Now, I think after the Inns of Court, you went off to a pre-Octu. Was that the course at Blackdown?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Just finishing with the Inns of Court, I yes. went on the campus
Wimpole Hall.
Could have been late March or early April.
Right. That's in Cambridge. It's in Cambridgeshire, isn't it? Yes. What were you doing there? Was it the same thing as you've been doing at Raunds?
Yeah. Except we went in tents. It was good weather, but chilly. But now at 6, and I think all gunfire at 6:10. Which is a cup of tea, and then we peaked here at 6:15. And the colonel is right around and on his horse, we're doing our press ups properly. But otherwise, apart from that, the training went on much the same. We did the same sort of thing.
When you were doing that early morning PT, was the emphasis on strength or on endurance or on agility?
I'd say agility. It was the old style, regular things, in those days.
Exercise tables.
Yeah. I can't.
What did you do at Blackdown? What was on the pre-op chair? Yes.
I suppose they were able to sift a few out, but wouldn't make it. I haven't had much for men in those 2 months. I don't know much about it. The Sandhurst was entirely different.
Tell me about Sandhurst. Yes, what was Sandhurst like?
Because it was our first taste of civilized living, where we had servants who looked after the world. Eating was more civilized and that kind of thing. But otherwise, the pressure was on. I was terrified of being on TV.
Were any of your squad at Sandhurst, one of your platoon, RTU'd?
No. No, they were. But one chap missed it, really. He was lucky. I can't say he could have been RTU'd, but we were doing this squad drill with cadets. Taking the world, like a taking squad, this chap was in command of us. That got a very incisive word of command. And we were marching parallel with the old building. And we were rapidly running. He called out this word of command. We couldn't hear what he said. And we were rapidly running out of space. And we actually went on one of these paths which fan out from the playground through the rest of the ground. And anyway, one chap in the last rank, last of three, called out the word of command, called it from that town, and back down, and we turned about and came back within his orbit of command, and he got away with it, you know. It's bullshit. One wondered what would have happened if he just disappeared off the playground.
Were you organized in troops and squadrons in that
octo? Yes.
How many?
The intake, I was in the first intake under the reorganized Royal Army Corps up to hitherto, but been up to various parts of various RAC up to in various parts of the country. And they were all brought together and the new commandant was Brigadier Palmer. He's done, as it happens, commanding the 1st Derbyshire Yeomanry.
Yes.
And we were in the, I was in the first intake, one and two troops. So, first intake, representing the two troops in each week's intake. And I can't remember how many were in the troop, but again, I say it was about 24.
What did they teach you at Sandhurst? What was on the syllabus?
Well, much as before, but maybe it, we had to do lecturettes and map reading. We'd go out on map reading exercises. Group exercises and one half of which was a lot of PT and a lot of squad drill and passing out plays. It'll be one of those every week, you see.
What about tactical training? Did you do that? Did you never go out and practice it on the ground?
I can only remember once. And, it was a very unfortunate day for me. The surprised the op, he was better than Vernon's staff and most of the guards. And we never got enough time to change what we were. One moment we were copy, and the next thing we were a pre-ticket, and this particular afternoon, we had two different sessions. Then we were out at Bookshop, we were out on Hartford Beach Flat to do a troop exercise. Well, the next day. But I was my troop commander. And everything was sort of done in a rush. And I got in my tank and the driver advanced and was getting out my back board in front of me and just gave me an instruction to the rest of my troop. I was calling the occasion of the government, which it was. And we went up a steep incline and down the other side into a disused quarry and had a track off, and that was that. Well, that's my point about the guards. Marvelous infantry, but at that stage we weren't suited to be armoured soldiers, and I'd been serving in a field regiment, and if a driver was given the order of rather advance, we didn't expect him to go into some obstacle or be directed, have to be directed round the obstacle. But the guards would seem to be that the driver advances, you get on that line until you were ordered to move left or right of the creature. Anyway, it was too hard for us. I thought that would be our good to be RTU. So, I guess we were supposed to come to the end. When we got back, I think we had a good company, and we got back on our own, but then I find that I lost some money. £5. Which, you know, it's a bit painful. All because of this quick change business. And I went out into the car, but I know quite a bit of the going on. And sometimes, there were two other people who lost money. One who lost £28, as he was actually watching, you know, an officer came in. So we went down to the squadron officers, about 6 in the evening. And he said, well, it's no good now, I've done it. You know, I'll come down to the squadron order at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And he said, well, it's a bit of a waste of time, you know, the police ought to be called in and so on. Anyway, we went at 2 o'clock and we were marched in before the squadron leader. The major and the grenadiers. And I don't know if that was called Harvey, but it could be true. Officer Cadet Smith, Officer Cadet Harvey, Officer Cadet Brown himself. And then we began to read our discharge, neglect. Losing money. Well, we were not speechless, of course, we couldn't say anything about it. They said we were asked, acknowledged, and it's one of the ladies who said, good march, good feel, out there. End of story.
No investigation.
No. Of course, it had to be in a law of the unit. One could have complained, but one could dare not complain in our situation, otherwise we had this feet hanging over the BRTU.